What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear.
Well, hello, guys. Welcome back to Just So We're Clear. You've probably heard our little jingle a bajillion times. If you're anything like me, I fast forward it really, really, really quick.
Oh, yeah, me too. Get to the juicy bits, like this one. Hello, people. Hope you're good.
It'd be Monday.
It's a Monday, and I don't know. I've had a funky week.
How was your weekend?
Funky.
In a good way or in like a smelly sock kind of way?
In a good way, but also, guys, you know, honestly, I'm at a point in my life where like I'm allergic to drama. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a little gossip here and there. Who doesn't? I love like hearing a little like, ooh, ah.
It's like if you're allergic to cats, but you like cats, so you'll enjoy them from afar.
Yeah.
So long as it's not your cat.
Exactly. And like, I've also gone through enough in my years to have gone through like the just different degrees of drama, like friendship drama.
Are you ever surprised that at 30 years of age, the style of drama hasn't really changed that much?
Yes, I am. Because, you know, you try to do all this work and you try to like be the better person and grow and do all this like healing. And then just some things just trigger you back to that like really reactive early 20s idiot that you once was. And basically, I had a little pinch of that experience. I don't want to get into it because, but that was my weekend. It was kind of like funky that a little drama happened between some girlfriend and I'm just a bit over it.
It's the whole principle of you can only move as fast as your slowest teammate. And so if you're dealing with a conflict with someone who perhaps hasn't done as much work as you, you're going to have to either sink to their level or just move on.
Mm.
And that be what it be.
I like what you said, though, about the cat thing. Like, yeah, I love reality TV. But I like watching it.
Love is Blind season 4, anyone?
Don't drag me in, but I want to be a part. You know what I mean? Like, let me witness.
just let me be the recipient of at least two rants from two separate perspectives without directly involving me, just so I can feel like I have skin in the game.
Oh, I saw this girl on TikTok. Like, most of my entertainment comes from TikTok these days. Marissa, get on it. Anyway, she was so funny. She was like, guys, I'm too healed. There is no drama in my life. Everything is too good. Like being healed, being like sane, being clean, all that. It's great, but it's boring. And I was like, damn, she kind of right.
She is kind of right.
She's kind of right.
But at the same time, of the friends I've spoken to who have hit that level where they're just so grown. And I'm like, do you ever get bored with the fact that not much is happening? She's like, that's why I watch you guys. She lives this whole super light existence and she just looks down upon us and goes, yo, that's hectic.
Whatever. I love being a mess. I love being a seasonal mess. Let's say that.
Seasonal mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so is this on season or off season for you? Because it sounds like it's someone else's on season, but you're off season, which is why you don't like it.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm also in an off season where every single time drama, little hints of it pop up, I'm like, peace out. I'm going over there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm allergic to drama happening to me, coming from a source that I can't control.
I like drama when I cause it.
Exactly, because then it's fun.
Because it's like, oh my God, it's so cute when I do it.
Because we're meddling.
In like a hot way. But before we get to all of that, let's do our usual
check-in.
Yeah. How you be?
Petty.
The MEPS theme of the week is petty.
Petty. MEPS, for those of you who don't know, is our little check-in. It stands for mental, emotional, physical and spiritual. And we kind of run down this list to let y'all know where the vibe's coming in from. Mentally, I feel good. I feel like, you know, the to-do list is small and I feel in control. Emotionally, like I shared in the beginning, a bit of an eye roll. I'm emotionally eye rolling. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just like, ugh, this shit again.
This shit again.
Yeah.
Physically, I'm pretty good. I feel cool.
Poop, just regular?
Regular, girl. So you know we good.
It's those probiotics, I'm telling you.
Honestly. Guys, if you want to change your life, get you some good probiotics. Check out my TikTok. I've posted about it.
Listen, guys, I took one dose of it, I think. And I pooped 3 times a day for 5 days.
They're just so potent and they're really good. I'll just tell you, the brand is called Super Synbiotic. And it's like these little powder satchels. And you dissolve it in a tall glass of water first thing in the morning. And if you know about gut health, you know that it like controls everything.
It does.
So good gut health equals good life.
But it's quite pricey, you know?
Well, you want to have a good life?
I also want money.
I know, but... That's why these high value, high quality things cost high.
True. It's an investment.
It's an investment.
Consider it an investment.
But okay. I back that up because it doesn't back me up. And then spiritually, I feel quite connected with myself because I had a really good journaling session over the weekend.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I was actually just thinking about the fact that I don't think I've journaled since my birthday, so it's probably time.
It's time.
It is time. A lot has changed in many regards. And also, I've been telling everyone else to journal, and I'm not doing it, so I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
Yours, your turn.
Okay, so yours is kind of a... Internally, you're at peace. Externally, you're like, this is some bullshit. That's where you're at.
1,000,000%.
Okay, but that's good. It's good to have, like, you know, your foundation set for yourself. Everything else is secondary. Mine, mentally, I'm all right. I actually am just taking the calm before the storm because I'm off to the US for like a month and that's going to be crazy. And so I'm trying to not book out my calendar too much or not stress myself out too much before all that chaos hits. Emotionally, I'm good. Like I said, I got to journal more. I don't need to reflect more. I think I'm doing a good job of reflecting. I'm just not doing a very good job of documenting it. And I'm starting to think that maybe documenting it is still important.
Yeah, we've had this discussion because we both are guilty of looking back at previous journal entries and it just being depressive, man. Like the journal takes like the beating of my emotions. Like I don't balance it still. I still don't balance it enough with good times.
But sometimes I'll fill out, say I do a journal entry and it's actually positive and it's me writing, oh shit, this is actually going pretty well. And don't forget that when this happens, this solution worked. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, I'm sad again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I'll go back to the happy one and I'm like, this bitch was naive as shit.
Even though she knew so little.
At the time, she thought she was woke and she wasn't.
Oh, God, that journaling high when you close the book and you put, you know what?
And you're like,
you know what? You know those like slow motion montage of like the white women that's really happy in movies when she like hits like a new level of her life, she has a breakthrough?
Yes. And like she's redecorated her room. She's changed her wardrobe.
Like Kelly Clarkson's playing in
there's
the background.
So much weird. Like suddenly there's natural light in her apartment she didn't have before.
That's how I feel when I close a journal. Suddenly the world goes slow motion. I take a deep breath and I just look up and like, shit opens.
For me, I'm like, wow, my hand is cramping. I'm like, that was 7 straight pages of documentation.
I'm like, I am healed. I'm complete.
I'm fixed.
I'm fixed.
And I did it by myself.
2 weeks later.
Physically, I'm good. I'm a lot better. My back doesn't hurt nearly as much. I can tie my own shoes again. And also, I spent this weekend essentially sleeping just in a variety of different locations.
Hmm.
Like, I switched off every single alarm.
Hmm.
And I was waking up at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. and being like, wow,
yes,
this is what rest is.
Mm.
So that was amazing. And then I think it's put me in good step for my next bout of insomnia.
Cool. You're like, you're resetting. Yeah.
And then spiritually, I'd say I feel pretty full. I feel like I'm helping people. I feel like I'm helping myself.
You're in abundance.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. Mm. I like it.
Which brings us on to today's topic.
So what are we unpacking today? You said there's something that you wanted to bring up for this episode.
So it actually ties into what we started this episode with, which is your sense of pettiness, drama, conflict, which is, I think we need to make a more active effort to talk about the ways in which people handle conflict. So we talk about our love languages a lot. And for those of you that don't know, it's acts of service, gift giving, verbal affirmation, quality time, and physical affection. And it's essentially all the themes through which you tend to demonstrate your affection to other people and how you like to receive it for yourself. Conflict languages or fighting languages, I think, are about paying attention to the way in which you engage with someone when you're fighting. Like, what is your fighting style and how do you find your resolution? And is it actually good for you in like, is your method actually serving you?
Is it healthy?
Yeah. Is it healthy? Like, do you know, or have you ever stopped to think about the way you fight?
Okay. Yes. In, but also, let's break it down, because in like a family dynamic, in a relational dynamic, or in a friendship dynamic, actually, there are three different styles that I can tap into.
Totally true. Because if you're fighting with your parents, you just be like, I hate you! And then you slam a door and that's it.
Like, fighting with your family is the thing that like is the biggest lesson and like hurdle to overcome, because they are your core wounds.
I think family fighting basically brings you straight back to your inner child. So you will behave as your inner child.
1,000,000%. If my mom comes at me with the same scolding tone that she did when I was a teenager, like suddenly teenage me wants to come out and like fight right back. So it's very different when it comes to family.
Okay. So then I think what I was generally alluding to was more relationship conflict.
Okay. Between partners.
Between partners, or even between friends for that matter. Okay. People who aren't your immediate family, or I think professional conflict is a whole other, like, you guys figure that out for yourselves.
Yeah.
That's a wild card.
So like close friends and partners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is my style?
What is your style now? How did you get there? And what did it used to be?
So my style, I actually think that I'm pretty good at conflict resolution with my partners. And what it used to be, I think I used to be a lot meaner.
Okay.
Yeah.
In what way?
So like when I look back at, let's say, a relationship when I was in my early 20s, I can admit that, like, obviously it wasn't my finest hour. I don't think it was anyone's. We're in our early 20s. We're meant to be fucking up and learning at that period.
Sure.
And I don't think I was very kind when I was arguing. I think I would like start to get a bit insulting.
So you would act to cause harm in the argument?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I think like this very like, what's the term? Like,
petty.
Not petty, like, you know, snappy, like super reactive.
Sure,
so I was
just
scrappy.
Feisty.
I was a little scrappy. I was verbally scrappy back in the day.
Okay.
And it's because I think it's because I had a really strong guard up. And so I was super defensive. And so when I look back at like, back
so you'd
then,
rather like bite rather than get bit sort of thing.
Big time. I'm still like that.
Okay.
You know this about me. My instinct, like my first reaction normally is anger. I start angry and then I have to like peel back. But I can be very feisty, very expressive. And it normally starts with anger. So if I look back at like baby, like unconscious, like early 20s, late teens, Henley, she was just scrappy. She thought that she was like on some Bad Girls Club reality TV. Like,
you 100% thought you were on Bad Girls
Club. Yeah, thought that was like some Jersey Shore like trash. Like, I just was so entitled, and I can call it now. And it wasn't my finest hour. So there. I started, the bar was pretty low. And I think I've learned, because there was so much, like I said at the beginning, like in my 20s, there was so much like conflict and social drama and like confrontation. And through those experiences and ownership, I've just come to a point now where I'm nowhere near perfect. Obviously, there's room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think I do a better job at not using like mean words. And I do a better job at deconstructing my feelings before I come to the table.
Okay.
Like, I now need space because I know I'm angry. And I now know I can never enter a situation angry. So I always need to calm down. So I need space.
Okay. Yeah. So you know that you shouldn't let your anger speak on your behalf.
Yes.
Okay. And so you wait for that to die down before you come in. And then what would you say were the things that made you learn how to do that? Or made you realize that that was necessary?
What do you mean? That I had to stop being angry?
Because if you think about it, right? Yeah. We all kind of start off that way. We're all really feisty, especially as teenagers, for example. Mm-hmm. We get catty or we get mean and we don't really understand why, but we all tend to grow out of it. But what is it that made you think, nah, that should change?
Okay, this is a big one. Because my anger and my fits of anger and my reactiveness would then cause me shame. Because after the heat would settle, I'd feel really shameful for what I did. I'd feel really shameful for the way I acted.
Okay.
And actually, I've done a lot of work in therapy of removing the sense of shame around anger, because I used to think that being I used to think about myself. This is totally internalized. I used to think that being angry and being this wild, angry thing was embarrassing and shameful. And so I would go through situations where my instinct and my reaction would cause me to be wild and feisty, and it felt good in the time. And then the moment that simmered down, I would just feel horrible and sad and shameful about myself. And so actually the answer is it wasn't serving me. It left me feeling worse to handle situations that way.
It's so interesting because I think we all start off similar, because the way you learn to argue is to fight your corner sort of thing. And I don't think when you're younger, many of us took time to realize that arguments actually should be more constructive than they are destructive. I think we're in a very destructive mode at that phase. And I think a lot of us actually carry that through, some of us right through their entire lives. You fight in a really destructive way. But I remembered my fighting style was to always prove that I was right. I was correct. I could show you every way in which you were wrong. I could show you, I could deconstruct your motives for you. I was very
articulate.
Yeah. I knew that was my power and I could be vicious with it. Yes. And it was only when my dad, shout out to my dad, always teaching me big life lessons, was there will be a day where you realize that you are right to the detriment of your relationships. And sometimes you need to be pragmatically correct, which is to preserve the relationship that you're trying to exist in, than to destroy it for the sake of being correct. Mm-hmm. And he was just you're currently acting like you want to destroy every relationship for the sake of being right, and it won't serve you in the long run. So you need to make a decision.
Why do you think that you needed to be right?
Because that was my armor. In the way that you wanted to be scrappy and feisty, and that guarded you because it prevented you from getting bitten, me being right meant that I was justified in any of my actions. Mm. If I was intellectually correct, you couldn't fight me because I had outsmarted you, and that was my victory.
Interesting.
And that, I think I held on to that probably into my 20s as well. And that was when my dad really started to drill down on that lesson and was just like, is being right actually helping you here?
This is more important than progress.
Yeah. Mm. It was kind of like, how much tax did you pay on that?
Ooh, that's so interesting. Because actually being right is addictive.
It's so addictive.
And I see that happen in the dynamic sometimes between, let's say, my dad and my brother, these two men of the house. Right. They're always trying to
one up
each other. I know more. I know this. And it's actually when I see it from my angle, both of you just want to be right.
Okay. So that brings me on to what I've learned about how to engage in conflict in my 30s, mm-hmm. I think, or at least late 20s. And I think this is a lesson I learned by actually watching other people fight, and that being the pattern where I was like, you guys are fighting about being right, and neither of you are actually stopping to engage and to listen, because you're trying to be right because being right means you win. And in an argument, especially with a partner or a close friend, you shouldn't actually be seeking victory. Mm. You should be seeking understanding. That's where I think the pendulum swings between the destructive argument and the constructive one. If we're taking time and effort to actually hear what the other person's saying, or the data that they're bringing to the table, and then reconcile it with our own, at least you can build a new bridge with that. Mm-hmm. But I think so many of us get caught in this whole, no, they're the problem, not me. And that's like an ego protection thing that doesn't actually do us very much. Because like you said, then you leave and okay, maybe you were right, or maybe your anger shouted them down and they stepped back. But do you really feel like you won? I don't think we do.
No. Well, that being said, my relationship with anger now is not as fiery, but I definitely still respect feeling my anger, and I will give myself the full space to feel my anger, whatever that means. If it's like screaming into a pillow or just like having a moan, or frankly, just having like a bitch to you.
Right.
Like I just like, right. I let myself feel that anger because I don't want to let my anger make me feel shameful anymore.
Sure.
So it's like, I hear you about coming to the table and hearing all right. But for me, I'm not able, and I respectfully don't let myself even get to the table unless my anger stops. So yeah. Can you do all that with your anger? Like, how do you balance the two?
I think it's the difference between, because I think I agree with you. You should always be able to own your anger. It's a core emotion, right? It is a protective thing for your ego, for your psyche, for yours. Like it's self-preservation, right? But there is a difference between, as we said just now, letting your anger speak for you and communicating your anger in a way that someone can actually hear and listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I think the vast majority of us just let anger get the better of us, and then it controls what comes out of us. But if we're trying to, as you say, like take a step back, acknowledge that you're angry, and then be like, I need this person to understand how angry I am, then you honor that anger at the same time. But I do think you're right in that, like, if your anger is just so flared up, you will not be productive because your emotions will get the better of you. So you kind of need to cool yourself off before you can meaningfully engage.
100%. Oh, God, I'm so fiery sometimes. You know, I had an astrology reading the other day and they were like, my chart is like 70% Leo. Fire Leo sign. Like, it's just so. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the conversation around fighting and conflict, like it's a bit of a, unfortunately for me, I think this is like my greatest like thing. It's something that I take longer to get to and longer to get over.
Really?
Mm.
So this is where you and I differ. I don't know if this is, all I know is I have a lot of water in my chart. So maybe that explains all the tears. Because I get sad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get angry right away. I'll get like a flare up at some point. But the vast majority of time during a conflict, I am just so sad. And I will just need to cry for like an hour or longer until I can be like, okay, I'm ready. Before I can actually meaningfully engage in getting over whatever conflict I found myself in.
Yeah. And you know, that's actually something that's important to understand about the other, because some people are like, let's talk about it now. I need to talk about it now. You know, this
right.
is like, and some people like me are like, no, I really need lots of space from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if you really want us to have any chance of survival, we need that space.
We really need, we need that space, because I don't do well if it's now.
Do you think that would mean that if you and I fought, what would that look like? Because do you think you would just see me cry and be like, I can't get mad? Or I would see you mad and I'd be like, she'll get madder if I cry.
I don't know, man. I actually try not to think about it.
I also try not to think about it, but then it also makes you wonder.
It does. I don't know. Honestly, I kind of respect you too much to try to piss you off or do anything. Yeah,
I also,
at this point with us, like, that we've invested so much of knowing each other that I really am like, I know her too well. I just don't want to. I don't want to do anything around that. I'm too
respectful. Yeah, I feel like I also, like, I respect your buttons. Like, I feel like I know what they are. And I'm like, you know what? Let the dust fall on those. We don't need to touch those.
You didn't touch that. And also, I'm literally, like I said, I'm allergic to conflict. I'm trying so hard in my life to not have these things happen anymore. You know, like when I was a teenager, I was like, I was involved like with a lot of girls. I was involved in like just girl shit, like teenage girl shit.
Fighting with guys and fighting with girls is
so different, you know? And then like when I was in my 20s, I also had like a fair share of like weaving through the relationships to find what works for you. And me with my feisty persona, it was never just like, oh yeah, chill. I was always like, ah! And I can admit this now. I know this about myself now. I want to grow from that. And so, like, in my 30s, moving forward, like, I just don't want any of that in my life. And I try really hard to consciously do the work to avoid those versions of myself.
It's interesting.
Whilst also allowing them the balance. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to throw that version away. I'm just trying to, like, have more balance. Yeah.
Because I would say that I don't want conflict. I've generally always steered away from drama if I find it too emotionally consuming. But I do find that if there's conflict at this stage in my life, I'll go straight towards it because I think the storm is faster than trying to outrun it if you just run through it.
Okay, so I also live by this, which is that if there's something that you can't control, like if there's something, sorry, not that you can't control, there's something that's bugging you, a situation, you have two options. You either get over it or do something about it. You have to take action.
Yeah. But to, like, fester in your feelings is just so, it's going to take you so much longer.
Yes. And so the reason I take time with my feelings and anger is because that's my time to try to get over it first. Because I would rather try to get over it first and just, like, let that pass. And I really can't get over it, then I need to do something about it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair,
it's a different approach. What would you say your approach is? Are you the, I need to do something about it? Or are you that first? Or are you like, I'll just get over it?
I mean, we've talked about it before where I think I get like a really delayed reaction time to when I feel disrespected. So it will, regardless of the conflict, it'll take me time just because I just won't have realized it yet. Mm. And then once I do realize it, I'll know fairly quickly if it's bothered me enough that I should say something. Mm. And it also depends on who the person on the other side of this conflict is, because I need to know that I respect the way in which they fight. Like, if I think this person's going to get petty, they're going to get insulting, they're going to get bitchy and just talk about it behind my back or, like, spread bullshit, then I'm like, honestly, this fight is not worth my time because you're not going to fight with me on my level.
Mm.
And if unless you're going to rise up to that level, then I don't think there's any reason for us to engage.
Mm.
But I do think that, like, I've met people where I respect the way that they think and I know how they communicate. And I trust that I can bring an issue to them and for them to hear me. And even if we, you know, agree to disagree by the end of it, at least I'll feel like it's been acknowledged. And I'll feel like at least we can put it to bed or just get past it. But I won't engage in petty fighting. I think it is so childish. I think it is exhausting. And I think it's just a waste of my time.
I'm with you. Hear, hear. But yet if it's happening like in the bar in front of me, you know that I'm stopping and watching. Like, if it's anybody else, I'll be like, what's happening?
Snatch her weave.
World star.
Celebrity death match.
Okay, but that's okay. Wait. What about a romantic partnership, though? Because I have a confession.
Okay.
Like, I consider myself to be a powerful woman. Like, I know I am. I'm proud of myself. I'm very strong. I can be quite masculine. But when it comes to the right romantic dynamic, I can be so, like, gentle and, like, almost, like, submissive and, like, really nurturing and, like, really, like, soft, like, super soft.
Okay.
Right? And that's, sure, like, the love dynamic. Because I'm realizing that with my current partner now, like, there's just something about this where I just feel so watery and so, like, able to be, like, and I've always known that I was baby girl vibes in relationships, but this one
you
I don't.
You are baby girl vibes.
It's so funny, right?
You're like, oh, my God, baby, can you go baby. Get me the beer? And I'm like, I know.
Damn.
I
love it. But in a romantic partnership, I don't raise voices or like swear or explode. I really like come with like puppy eyes and like, let's resolve this with so much love, because that's what the zone is for me in a romantic partnership.
Right.
So yeah, that is different from like
friends. Was that always the way? Did you ever let your anger flare up in the relationship conflict?
Yes, of course.
So is that something you like grew past, or is that just like something that evolved with whatever relationship dynamic you found yourself in next?
It's both. One that I grew up anyway. I grew up full stop. And also with the right partner, you feel a certain level of safety. And with the level of safety, you can like bring out a very gentle, vulnerable version of yourself.
Right. So the emotional safety of the relationship would dictate how guarded you are in a state of conflict.
Yeah.
Okay.
Safety,
that makes sense. That makes total sense.
So how about you? Are you like a bit more, because Marissa is in a relationship now. She hasn't been in one for a while. It's like, she has a boyfriend. And I don't know how many conflicts you guys have had, but do you find yourself, like if you have found, have been in one, are you soft?
So in general, in relationships, it's exactly as you said. Like, I think when I'm on my own, I'm a fairly dominant personality. I'm fairly in my masculine. I'm in control. And then when I'm in a relationship, I notice that I'm so much softer. I'm a lot more nurturing, a lot more in my feminine. And I'm very much like, yay, take care of me. Yeah. I'm tired. You do it.
So heavy. Pick it up.
Oh my God, you're so strong. I'm so little. But when it comes to conflict, so I haven't had many relationships in my life to, I guess, I don't know, pull data from. But my last relationship, I would always feel the sadness and I would always feel kind of a little beaten down and unable to confront something that troubled me. And it might have come down to, on reflection, that I never really felt fully emotionally safe to bring up a problem because I didn't know with absolute certainty that we were going to be able to handle it well and effectively. So for the most part, I would just stick my head in the sand in that relationship. Ooh. I was just like, I don't think...
Avoid. You were avoiding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt it would be easier and shorter for me to just carry the weight of what was upsetting me and get over it than it was to actually...
confront it.
Yeah. To instigate conflict for the sake of getting through it. And on reflection, that was also a mistake. I don't think that served us, either of us, in the long run, even actually after we broke up and we had like a post-match report of our relationship. One of the things we both agreed on was we wish we fought more. Mm. We wish we had actually grabbed the bull by the horns and just dealt with our bullshit and maybe things would have been different. Mm. So going into this new relationship, I'm very much in the mindset of as uncomfortable as it might be, I'm going to bring this up as something that makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And something that I want to work through with you. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was like our first argument, which we had recently, it was this clear example of the fact that our fighting styles were different. So we actually had to sit down, cool off, and then be like, this is how I fight. And this is how you fight. Or this is how I perceive you to fight. And I don't think we're going to get anywhere with that. So let's come up with something else. And then I would actually say that we got through it really well. And then at the end of it, you know, we were almost patting ourselves on the back for how we dealt with our first conflict. Mm. So that was really effective because it was a thing of let's not try win here. Let's actually try understand each other and understand what perspectives are like, why each of us were hurt and see what we can do with that.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Actually, like when I look back, in any relationship, if I didn't feel like it was worth trying to resolve, it actually was a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. Friends, ex-partners, if I don't actually feel like it's worth the fight, it was probably the sign that the love was dying or the love was already dead or something has been lost along the way, because you fight for what you love in any regard, friendship.
Yeah.
Partnership. You should be fighting for the love, even if it's uncomfortable at the moment. Like, that shows that the love is like worth fighting for. Or you should be finding a love worth fighting for. Either way, like, conflicts happen. It's our journey to push through them. But it's the moments of the conflicts that happen that we kind of find ourselves being like, it's just not worth it.
I think
that's worrying. That's the sad bits.
I think that logic hadn't registered to me. For me, at that point in time in my last relationship, it was, you love each other too much to let this get in the way of you. Mm. And it eventually did get in the way of us. So it's... I think we can tell ourselves, you know, it's like a love worth fighting for versus like, I don't want to fight to introduce this in, like, to damage our love in any kind of way. So I think it kind of depends on what perspective you take.
Okay. But now I want to apply that and ask the same question for long friendships, right? Mm. Because I think like this is the complicated thing about growing up and you have friends that just don't really fit into your life anymore. And sometimes they're just not compatible with you because you've changed and they've changed. And so sometimes when conflict comes up between those dynamics, you got to ask yourself, like, is this worth fighting for? And like, what has me tempted to hold on to it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like loyalty? Is it time?
Yeah.
Like, do you serve my life? I feel like with these dynamics, it's actually the hardest thing to approach.
I think there's a parallel with also the family side of things, which is where it's understanding that for the long-term relationships or the long-term friendships in this regard, you've created and sort of fixed a dynamic. Like you've almost, your foundational dynamic is fixed enough that to bring, I don't know, a new conflict resolution style, a new fighting language, if you will, just doesn't match the relationship you've built with them. And I think, and it was something we've discussed a couple times, which is like the difference between the long-term friendships that are continually helping you evolve. Like, for example, you and I, we kind of grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And like the reason that we're so close is because even if we're growing in slightly different ways, we respect one another's growth and we will engage with each other.
We're vulnerable and open and we're letting each other know we're on this path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas other friendships, you just don't really have that or
like,
feel that.
Yeah. Like we'll engage with each other wherever the other person is at. While there are other friendships that are sort of locked in stone and are a signal of an earlier chapter of your life. And you kind of have to revert back to that time to engage with them in a meaningful way. And sometimes that will affect the way in which you can fight with one another.
Yeah, because you're basically coming to the table as like new people.
Yeah.
But like our friendship, is it like habit? Is it like muscle memory? Because like here we are to address something and we're actually different. Like we're fighting for a relationship that was built by two people who are not at the table anymore. We've just changed.
Right. So, but we're treating it like those two people are still the ones that are at stake.
Exactly. Yeah. So then it's like, I mean, it's a very personal answer, but like at what point are you like, oh, this is worth fighting for because of that? Like, I don't know. I actually don't know.
I think there's also the other side of that is it's not even whether it's about the fight being worth it. It's just kind of like a, why don't I just leave that be?
That's the quiet exit.
Yeah. Or not even the quiet exit of the friendship. Just like, I'll tolerate that because it's them. And I don't want to fight about that with them because that's just what they're always going to be like.
Okay. But do you feel like you have higher or lower tolerance these days with people and relationships and people in your circles?
Way lower. I think I have actively and consciously made an effort to make sure the people around me are the kind that feed me in the way that I feed them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely relationships that I have that I know they don't feed me, but I know that I respect who they are and the role they've played in my life. So that
respect
I always,
the history.
Yeah, like I'll always honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just changes how much investment I'm putting into it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, quiet exits, upfront confrontations, the feisty ones, the teary ones, like to resolve or to leave, like these, I think you're actually, I'm so happy you brought that up. Like these are the things that keep people up at night.
It does.
And this is the stuff that we should talk about.
Yeah. It's like Rules of War.
It is.
Love edition.
Is it a war? Is it a battle?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know the answers. We're just guessing.
Is it a backhand? Is it a high five?
Is it a punch? Is it a slap?
I don't know.
Is it a diss? Is it... Oh, man, there are so many different ways people fight. There's the, I'm not going to tell you there's a problem, but I'm going to tell all of your friends there's a problem. That's just lame. Grow up.
Anyway, love, hate this topic. So much to unpack on this. Maybe we'll journal about it.
Yeah, I think we should. Just because I've spoken to a few friends who have had issues with, say, like they just find themselves arguing a lot with their partner. I know I've observed patterns in my own parents that have become a lot clearer to me as like an adult. And I think those are things I'm actively trying to avoid in this new relationship, because I don't want to create that dynamic with, you know, a partner. Like, I want our fights to be constructive. I want us to feel like we both get something out of it rather than just one of us winning. Like, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah. Like, it, being right feels good, but in the long term.
Being love feels better.
Being love feels better. Oh, that's a good one.
Put it on another t-shirt. So many t-shirts
that we could make. Could make.
Does someone want to make these t-shirts for us? Just shout out to any of you, please.
Put it on a candle.
On a candle? What would it smell like? My what would enemies, it smell like?
My enemy's ashes. I don't know.
No, it's got to be like charcoal mixed with, what's something healing? Eucalyptus.
I'm sure that could kind of work, right? Anyway, guys, as usual, we've come to the end. We're winding down. We would love to know your perspective on this. You know, maybe answer this. Like, have you identified your fighting style? What was your journey like? Are you scrappier now? Were you scrappier then? Were you ever scrappy? Do you want to be scrappy? Does it have to be scrappy?
Do you like to fight? Some people like to fight.
Some people like
some
conflict.
People need the fight for the fire in whatever relationship they're yes. dealing with.
Yes. What does healthy fighting look like? And did you have a good example? Because I don't know if I did.
I don't think I had a good example.
My
I
parents, they were freaking passionate.
Freaking passionate.
They were yellers and throwers of things.
Oh, that kind of passion.
And swearers.
I thought you meant like everything is love kind of passion.
No. They were like really uncomfortable.
I just had like
kind of dramatic, if I'm being real.
You're like, wow.
So dramatic.
What the fuck was that?
My trauma. Love you guys. Thanks.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Thanks for the trauma. Let us know. We would love your insight. All right, guys. Well, you know the deal. Like, follow. And also, there's this thing on Spotify. I don't know if you've seen it, but you can actually like review.
You can and also, sorry, that wasn't a sentence. You can review, but you can also add comments to our episodes now.
So if you would love to be a dear and give us a shout out, that would be great. Thumbs up. We'll take it. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will check in with you soon.
Love you forever. Bye.
Bye.